Hello, Na'ala Len. We resume our study of Tzfanya Day with the second Perek. Today's shir, as always, is Lili Nishus Rachalea Bas Rav Chaim Tzvi, Aleha Shalom. As you recall, what we learned last time, we resume now. The Navi says, very, very interesting pasuk. He begins the second Perek. Needless to say, it would be very beneficial for this class if you'd have a Navi in front of you. As it is, the words of the Navi, not just this Navi, most Naviim are hard for us to comprehend. They speak in telegrams and in cryptological messages, so at least understand what they're driving at and try and fathom their analogies. He begins by saying, "His koshishu vakoshu hagoy lo nichsaf," meaning, improve yourselves and improve each other, O nation without desire. Gather yourselves who know no shame, the Jewish people. His koshishu vakoshu. And the Talmud derives from the very famous pasuk. Rashi quotes this here in the Navi. This is the fundamental principle of Musar. Before you correct other people, correct yourself. When you point a finger at someone else, you're pointing three fingers at yourself. Correct yourself before you correct others. Only after you've improved yourself, then and only then can you correct others. Most people will never get to the stage. But that's what Musar is all about. Looking for fault, not in others, but looking for how to improve yourself. Koshishu is koshishu. So the Talmud says the same expression, right? You shouldn't chastise other people if you live in a glass house. So the Navi is going to give three actions to the debacle that's going to happen. Three reactions to the churban. First reaction is, says the Navi, self-improvement. Deal with yourself first. And this, of course, is the hardest part. As it says, Kol negayim adam roeh chutz minigei atzmo. The Mishnah says a Kohen can disqualify any nega, to say if it's tzaras or whatever it may be, except for his own negayim. And that's halacha. And the practical sense, meaning not in part of halacha, is very practical, but in the sense of musr, the way it's in the colloquial parlance, it means a person sees everyone's blemish except for their own. A person don't see that they are short-tempered, that they are impolite, but they're quick to pick up on other people's faults. They see everyone's faults but their own. It's hard to see your own shortcomings, and it's very, very easy to see the shortcomings of others. So according to Tzfanya, the agenda for the Jewish people is, he begins with self-improvement. The next step is looking what happens to the surrounding nations of the world. For no one will survive this debacle, as Rabbi Wein likes to explain it. No one will survive this, but the Jews somehow will. The Plishtim were in the land of Israel for 1,000 years. They far preceded the Jewish people. The Plishtim were in the land of Israel before Avraham and Yitzchak got there. They were before us. Yet the Plishtim will go under. There'll be no more quote-unquote Philistine problem. So the Navi defines the agenda as, firstly, as we said already, it's self-improvement. Then what you have to be is, like to joke it, be an observant Jew. Go out and look at others. Look how other people are suffering. The other nations, what's going on with them? And they will be the victims of this crushing defeat. But for them, this will be their end. The Jewish people will survive and prosper and start all over again. This is the great lesson of Jewish history. No one has been more crushed and beaten. But somehow, we have this unbelievable resilience. We're able to pick up and start all over again. Other nations that can be so mighty, we'll learn about this today, Mr. Shem, in this Perek. Mighty, mighty nations, when they have their first major upset, and I guess this is somewhat cogent as we think about the primaries going on in the United States today, in these weeks, when you have your setback, not many people are able to pick up and get back. This is, of course, the greatness of a person. Success does not mean falling. Because you fall is okay as long as you get back up. The problem is falling and being unable to get up. Falling is not a problem. Success means keep on going, and even if you fall down, you'll be able to get back up. No one has the resilience of the Jewish people in this regard. So, one more time. The Navi defines our agenda as, firstly, self-improvement. Secondly, go and observe what's happening all around you. Look at your historical role. The others will be the victims of this crushing defeat, but we're going to prosper and begin all over again. Then comes the third lesson. Third lesson is, not only will the other nations be destroyed, but even your destroyers will be destroyed. Those that pounced upon you, those that beat you, those that destroyed you, ultimately now in this debacle, they too will fall. Asher and Bavel, Babylonia, Assyria, they're also going to fall. These are the major empires of the world. And as Rabbi Wein pointed out, and we see this ourselves, think about the major players that were in the world at the dawn of the 20th century. They're not around anymore. I mean, they are around, but they're only playing secondary roles, tertiary roles. If you remember the expression, the sun that never sets in the British Empire, because no matter where you went in the globe, there was always a British outpost. But what didn't they lose? They're left now with the Falklands, I guess, and UK. But everything else, from India to anywhere you pick around the globe, there is no more. The British are out. They're not in Hong Kong. They're gone. No more. Now, the destroyers will also be destroyed, and their cities will be with bats and owls. These are birds of prey. We'll come to this at the end of the second parak. The birds of prey will just take over. There'll be total desolation. And you can't find normal life. Birds don't go to where there's desolation. They need to pick berries and fruit. Only birds of prey will go there to pick on the carcasses. Okay, so we learned the first pasuk, which is you have to improve yourself. So says the Mitzvah David, everyone should seek out their misdeeds and repent. They should then help their friends find their misdeeds as well and help them repent. Because if you're a good friend, you'll care about the other person improving. It's not enough merely to just improve yourself, but a good person cares that other people should improve. I'm not just worried about his own ship, but the should be concerned about their neighborhood, their surroundings, their people, the entire world. First, correct your own misdeeds, says Rashi, and then go on to correct the misdeeds of others. For that which the Gemara says in Sanhedrin, this is Kuf Yud, Aparmin Yud Chesamar Aleph, Sharaf Lachar Hakach Shot Achirim. Hagai Lo Nichsaf. The Jews are described as a nation that does not desire Hashem, says the Mitzvot David. The Jews are people who do not desire to look inward and expose their sins, nor do they want to improve the behavior of others. This is the Radak. As Shira Smiles points out, it's at this point that you have to develop the concept and think to yourselves in your heart of hearts, what are we doing, each and every individual, to this call of Tzfania? What are we doing to try and make sure that we are indeed devoted to the service of Hashem? Not only to the minimum routine fashion, just by, you know, rote by rote, routine and by rote, but rather, how are we going to try and improve our service to God that we are going to grow spiritually? This is what the Navi is driving at. And, Pasuk Beis, B'terem ledes chok k'motz avar yom. B'terem lo yavo aleichem charon af Hashem. B'terem lo yavo aleichem yom af Hashem. Says the Navi, before the decree is born, the day you will become like chaff. Before Hashem's burning wrath comes upon you, the day of Hashem's anger comes upon you. Chaff means something which is the part of the I think chaff's a wheat, that little husk that just blows in the wind. What a beautiful analogy. We'll come to in just 1 second. So, by the way, this has no desire, we've had in a previous pasuk, means no desire to return to Torah. And that is not desirable to the nations and is not ashamed. Okay, so what does it mean? Beterem ledes chok. You have to make sure, beterem ledes chok, before the decree is born. Before it's decrees one, things are really bad now. It's going to get even worse. So before it's too late, before B'terem let it flow, before it's even born, the decree, you got to repent. Meaning, hurry up with your tshuva before the gzar din, before the decree is actually promulgated, before God has decided he's going to destroy everything. Kamotz of Aryom, this is a matter of time. In other words, hurry up to return a tshuva. And because the time is coming, how much time is there before the decree comes? Like chaff in the wind, meaning how long does it take for the wind to move chaff up in the breeze? It's nanoseconds. That's a beautiful image. You have, if you don't move fast, you missed it, because just like chaff going in the wind, it's going to blow it up and then it's gone. You'll never see it again. You have just minutes left to hurry up and do the tshuva. He's warning you. As long as the paranut, the suffering, has not yet come, the shari tshuva will still remain open until the very last moment. But once the destruction comes, then everything gets closed up. It's your last chance. Okay, furthermore, one should improve one's ways before the decree is carried out, says the Radak. Says Mesudas David, the days of exile are like chaff blowing in the wind. That's what the days of exile are like. And says Mesudas David, the warning is repeated for emphasis. The anger of Hashem is manifested at this time of punishment. And we also have in this pasuk That's fine. He's warning the people to repent before the decree is carried out. That way, the day of retribution will come, but without Hashem's wrath, and perhaps the day will not come at all. So hurry up. Before God sets into motion, maybe God will not bring the day, and if He brings it, it will not be as terrible as He's already predicted. That brings us to Pasuk Gimel. Bakshu et Hashem kol anvei haaretz. Anvei haaretz, the humble of the land. Asher mishpato pa'alo bakshu tzedek. Bakshu anava. Ulai ti satru b'yom af Hashem. Meaning, seek Hashem, all you humble of the land, who have fulfilled His law. Seek righteousness, seek humility. Perhaps you will be concealed on the day of God's anger. So what does all this mean? So it means the following. Though most of Israel has sinned, there remain many who have not, who were good and God-fearing. These are called the Anvei Haaretz, the humble of the land. These were the ones that were good, and they were the ones who were God-fearing. Perhaps you will be concealed so that you will not die as the others. In other words, do not be saying like this. There's going to be an exile. The enemy is going to come and smite you. However, if you are good enough, maybe you'll be concealed. What does concealed help you? It helps in the following way. Perhaps you will be concealed so that when you will not die with the others. But the Navi does not promise that they will avoid the exile. For that's been decreed from way before. It can't guarantee you'll avoid the exile, but at least you'll be concealed, and those that were concealed stood a chance of not being murdered. And we have as well, although many Jews sinned, there were those who remained loyal to God, says the Radak. Bikshu tzedek, bikshu anava. The righteous people should help others return to God, says the Radak as well. Says Mitzudas David, the rest of the people should seek justice and humility. Ulai tivastru biyom af Hashem. The people return to God, although they will have to go through the process of exile, they will be saved from the sword, which is what we said. In other words, to be saved from exile is not going to happen. The best you can hope for is you will be exiled but remain alive. That's the best you can hope for, and this is going to require major tshuva on your behalf, or if you're from England, on your behalf. And the people who do tshuva will be able to survive the exile experience and will return to the land of Israel. And if you want to know what Mishpatei Hashem are truly all about, then you refer to one of the Shmuzim Baruch Chaim Shmulevitz, who discusses the subject. Pasuk Dalid. It's as if he's talking right today from the news, says the Navi. Ki aza azuvati hiyeh, vashkalon lishmama. Unbelievable, just the words are ringing out right out of today's news. Ashdod batzaraim yigar shuha, vekron teaker. Pasuk Dalid. For Gaza will be deserted. Halavai Karov. And Ashkelon will become a wasteland. Halavai, this will never be fulfilled. But they are trying to aim their missiles, their grads, and all their rockets upon Ashkelon. They will drive on Ashdod's residence at noon. The next stop. And Ekron will be uprooted. So this means, if we go through the words, why? Because it's describing here the Churban that's going to happen to the land of Plishtim. And the pasuk is telling us that the Jews must do tshuva. And we're telling us why we should do tshuva. Why? Because Azuvatiya Aza will become destroyed, will become abandoned wasteland because of the enemy. Then all the people will flee from their land. Everybody's going to run away, become refugees. And therefore the Navi has warned us in yet the previous pasuk to search God. Because if you don't do that, then when the Puranut come, when all the destruction comes, and debacle comes, it'll start with the Plishtim, and then the other nations, and the end will even come and hurt the Jewish people. So you must do tshuva, so that what befell them will not befall you. When the Navi says that Aza will be a wasteland, it means that when the people will come back from their exile, they'll come back to the land of Israel, according to the Mitzvot Davi, they will find the land bereft of inhabitants. And we continue. Pasuk Hay. Hoy Yoshev Chevel Hayam Goy Kresim. Hoy is an expression. It's a like almost a metaphor, which We have throughout the Nevuah, which is Lashon Kriya. It's a kind of a, you know, wake up. It's a, ahoy. Ahoy, what's going to happen? I can't think of a parallel in English. But it's a foreboding of doom. It's a notice, hey, watch out, what's going to happen next is going to be disastrous. Hoy Yoshev Chevel Hayam Goy Kresim, Dvar Hashem Aleichem Kenan Eretz Plishtim, Havarticha Me'ein Yoshev, which means, Pasuk Hey, Hashem, the righteous one, is within it. He commits no corruption, morning after morning he brings his judgment to light. It does not fail, but the corrupt, one. Okay, let's try and make peace out of this one. Number hey. Okay, the verse is being directed to the Plishtim who live in the valley, in the very south of the land of Israel. Eretz Plishtim means, these are Canaan, there's different ways. These are different terms. I'm going to list for you now the terms and how to refer to the same people. Plishtim means Canaan, it means Eretz Plishtim. It also calls, and Navi calls them, four different names. Chevel Hayam, Goy Kresim, Canaan, Eretz Plishtim. Meaning all the same thing. Havad Atich, and I will destroy you. Number Vav. Vaisa Chevel Hayam, Nevos Kros Roim, Vigidros Tson. Says the Navi, I'm so sorry. I have eliminated nations. Their towers have become desolate. I have destroyed their streets without passerby. Their cities have become ruins without people. So there is no inhabitant. I confess this does sound a tad repetitive. Let's see what the Perushim, what the Mefarshim say on this. We're now up to... did I just read few six? I'm sorry. No inhabitants, okay. No, but why does it say that? Oh, I'm so sorry, you know why? I'm so sorry, I was reading the translation. Doesn't make sense from the third paragraph, I'm so sorry. Number six. The seacoast will be an abode for shepherds and sheepfolds. Okay, I'm so sorry. Again, what's going to happen? So I didn't read you Pasuk Hey correctly either. Let me give you a translation of Hey. Woe to the inhabitants of the seacoast, the nations of the Kresim. Don't ask me how to say it in English. The word of Hashem is against you, O Canaan, land of Plishtim, and I will destroy you without inhabitant. I really apologize. So that was Hey, which we learned. Number six, Vav, Vaisa Chevel Hayam. So six means the seacoast will become an abode for shepherds and sheepfolds, meaning that the land of the Plishtim, after the destruction, will become a pasture grazing area for sheep. That's what all there'll be left of it. There'll be no inhabitants living in the land of the Plishtim. Number Zayin. V'haya chevel l'shairis beis Yehuda aleihem yir'um. Bivatei Ashkelon ba'erv yirbatzun. Ki yifkedeim Hashem elokeichem v'shav shvisam. So which means, I said, just fear me, accept chastisement. Except the Musr, so that her abode would be terminated. Her abode will mean very far-flung places, that's what it means. So that her abode would not be terminated, despite all that I have ordained upon her, but instead they rose early and corrupted all their deeds. I'm so sorry. I did it again. I did repair it again. I'm sorry. I knew it didn't make sense. I'm so sorry. Okay. Number Zion. It didn't make sense then. V'yachevel l'sheris, I won't do this again. One more time. V'yachevel l'sheris beis Yehuda aleihem yir'un. Meaning, it will be a portion for the remnant of the house of Judah upon which they will graze. Right? It'll be a pasture land. In the house of Ashkelon, they will lie down in the evening, for Hashem, their God, will remember them and will return their captivity. V'yachevel, that this strip of land, this is referring to land which is going to become actually their inheritance. And chevel yam yechevel, the strip of the land will become a strip, meaning it's going to become an inheritance. The sharis beis Yehuda, for those who remain from beis Yehuda, here what the Navi is saying is referring to those that survive. Those sole survivors that will be able to carry on from Yehuda after the destruction. So the Navi understands this to mean that B'nai Yehuda will not listen to the voice and they will not return in tshuva. So they will also be suffering all kinds of puranut and destruction and a day of judgment. But in the end, their remnant will come back to the land, which we learn after the end of Pasuk, Kif Kedem Hashem Elohim V'Shav Shvisam, they'll actually be returned. So your own there, the pasture land, V'Vatei Ashkelon, which will be deserted from people. I mean, these words are terrifying to read now in the week where people from Ashkelon are fleeing for their lives. Be'er of Yerbatzon in the evening, during the day, the shepherds, they will graze, they will shepherd their flocks in the fields, and at night, they'll send them out to the homes of Ashkelon. Okay, for God will remember the Jews and come to save them. Navi's trying to say that at the time that the Plishtim will it be in their destruction, then there'll be a small remnant of Beis Yehuda from the Gola, from the exile, that'll come back to their land. They'll inherit the land of Yehuda, and not only the land of Yehuda, they'll also inherit the land of the Plishtim. Now, it makes sense this is also going to be applicable at the time that the Assyrians ruled in Yehuda. Then the Moavim and the Ammonim will join together with the Ashurim in order to hurt the Jews. Pasuk test. L'chein chayash ani nu'um Hashem tzvakos l'kei Yisrael ki Moav kistom tihia le'amon ka'amorim mimishak charul mikhrei melach ushmama ad olam sheris am ami yevazum v'yeser goy in Chalom. So says the Navi, this is Pasuk Tes, which means, therefore, as I live, right, here we have an oath, as I live, the word of Hashem, Master of Legions, God of Israel, I swear that Moab will be like Sodom and the children of Ammon like Gomorrah in English, a rustling thorn bush, a salt mine, a desolate wasteland forever. Notice how the Navi is saying it's going to be like a thorn bush. A salt mine, a desolate wasteland forever. So these conjurer mines, areas that are bereft of life, but we'll see from the fortune, it means a hierarchy, a gradation of bad that gets worse and worse. The remnant of my people will loot them, and the remainder of my nation will inherit them. Okay, meaning, meaning, where's Pasuk Zion? Okay, kistom tia, they will become like stone. They will be destroyed entirely like stone was destroyed. Ovnei Amon ka'amura, and the people of Ammon will be like Amora. Bnei Ammon will be destroyed like the men of Amora. The Navi is trying to say that Moab and Ammon will be destroyed from the destruction, from all the punishment that will come, and it'll happen over there because that's the place where Lot tried to escape. Mimashak, Charul. Meaning, it's a place of earth that is very, very salty. You dig there in order to dig up more salt. And this is a symbol of the absence of fertility. Because the Navi is telling you you'll be in a place that's full of salt. Salt always antithesis of fertility, the absence of growth. In other words, most of the land which is surrounding Yam HaMelech, the Dead Sea, is absolutely not fertile, not usable, not growable, because it's so filled with salt and other things which make life unsustainable because of the salt in the sea. So Navi is trying to say that Moab and Ammon will also be like desolate places, and they will not even be worthy of having anything growing out of the land. All you can do when you dig the land is dig up salt. That's all you're going to have there. So we have here three different phrases, and each one is a worse level. In other words, there's a hierarchy. There's a little bit of fertility. It's possible a little bit to grow. There's no growth whatsoever. It's not possible to grow with salt everywhere. But it's possible to bring from there salt. But with shmama ein baklum, when you have things totally destroyed, there's nothing to get out of it. What could be good to get out of it? We'll see, the Navi will say what there is. Ad olam, that means a long period of time. It doesn't mean infinity, a long period of time. Sheris ami, the remainder of my people. So in the beginning of the perek, the Navi talks about the anvei haaretz, those humble people in the land that will survive, those humble individuals that did the way of God, and they kept trying to become more and more humble, that they will be able to be saved on Day of Judgment. But since they were the humble people, they were actually got the nickname as the humble of the people. They were always a minority. And then we have, since they were vilified my people, the only thing which is appropriate, mita kenegamita, in that balance of nature, is that they too should be vilified and have to suffer. Pasuk Yud, Zos lahem tachas gaonam, ki herfu v'yagdilu al am Hashem tzvakot. So what does that mean? They shall have peace in the place of their haughtiness, in place of their haughtiness, for they taunted and boasted over the people of Hashem, master of legions. So the symbolism here is the following. Because they were filled with hubris and they were haughty, they're going to be cut down. They're going to be cut down for size. So let's look at Yud Aleph now. Nora Hashem alihem ki raza eskol elokei haaretz elokei haaretz, pardon me, v'yishtachavu lo ish mimkomo kol iye hagoyim. Meaning, Hashem will be fearsome unto them, for he will enfeeble all the powers of the earth, and they will prostrate themselves to him, and each man from his place, all the islands of the nations. All the nations of the islands. Vas mentas means the following. On that day, here we go again, pasuk. Hashem will be fearsome unto them, for he will enfeeble all the powers of the earth. Enfeeble all the powers of the earth. And they will prostrate themselves to him, each man from his place, all the islands of the creations. Baruch ata Adonai Eloheinu Melech Shehar Kol Yedid Vavai. Okay, having just read, because of their haughtiness, we're on Yud Aleph. God is mighty, is terrifying upon them. God will place his fear upon them. And this is what we see from the end of the pasuk. It's Dabar HaLamed Miyano. So now we're up to the pasuk. The next pasuk is, the fourth theme, is the destruction of Kush. Till now we did Philistines, now we do the destruction of Kush. That's Yud Beis. Gam atan Kushim, chalalei harbi hema. You also, you Kushites, you two are going to be slain by the sword. You will be destroyed. You will go down, and your gods will go down as well. And basically, this is the final words of the Nevuah regarding the Plishtim and about Moab and about Ammon. This is the completion of what's going to say. They will be destroyed, as we learned before, that they will be destroyed, their gods will be destroyed. And this is going to bring them to a recognition of the trueness and the the trueness of God, after having seen their nation destroyed and their people taken away and seeing their gods destroyed, this should be a very significant wake-up call for all of them. Okay, sorry about that. I just came off a flight from overseas. Okay, now we're up to Kush. Okay, so now we're on to Churban of Nineveh. That's Yud Gimel. Yud Gimel is V'yet Yadon al Tzafon. V'yabed es Ashur v'yasem es Nineveh lishmama tzia kamidbar. So Yud Gimel is, he will stretch out his hand towards the north, and he will destroy Assyria, and he will make Nineveh a wasteland, arid as a desert. That's waste, like desert. There's nothing there. Nothing can be grown there. There's nothing fertile over there. Nineveh is the capital of Assyria. That's to the north of Israel. And that also, they were destroyers of the Jews. They too will be destroyed. After the Navi is speaking about Cush, which is in the far south, he now speaks about Ashur, which is in the north, the far north. And Nineveh is to the northeast of Israel. And he's going to make Nineveh destroyed. This is the capital city of Ashur. And this prophecy of Tzfania is actually fulfilled 26 years before the Churban HaBayis. If you want to know the exact time frame, this is going to be 612 years before the Common Era. 612 years before the Common Era. Tzia. This is referring to a plot of land where there is no water. And if there's no water, then everything perishes. And the Navi means, it means total destruction, meaning that you can't say there's going to be arid and nothing fruitful, but it means everything will be destroyed there. Why can't you just say it's going to be like you said about the other land, that'll be as arid and as desert and desolate? Because this is a land which straddles the Euphrates and the Tigris. As you remember from elementary school, certainly I remember this. This is the Fertile Crescent. You can't say about the Fertile Crescent that there's nothing there. But what's going to happen, everything will be destroyed. So it'll be as good as if it was totally infertile. It'll be destroyed. It'll be like a waste, desolate wilderness. No man will go there, no animal will go there. And in contrast to this, the land of Israel is called Eretz Nosheb, the land which is inhabited. But their land will be totally abandoned. Everybody will have run there because there's no way to continue living there. Number Yudalid. Yudalid. V'ravtzu b'tocha adarim kol chayotogoy gam ka'as gam kipod b'chaftotera yalino. So here we have those birds of prey, which saying is the following. The herds will lie down in its midst. Every nation's beasts, both owls and bats, I believe it is, will lodge in its capitals. Their voice will sing out in the window. Desolation will be in the doorway, and the cedar work will be removed. All right, that's a mouthful. What does this mean? What does that mean? Okay, it means that there'll be no animals of the wild. We're not talking about wild beasts, but we're talking about domesticated animals. But they're not sheep or cattle, like camels, donkeys. And Tzfani's trying to say that after the destruction of Nineveh, there'll be no one from any nation that will be able to prevent people from growing their flocks, their sheep, their cattle, their animals. And this is referring to the wild animal, the birds of prey that come out at night, like the owls and the bats. Anything which is a bird of prey, a hawk or a vulture, that's during the day. We're talking about things that come out dafke at night. And he compares this with, let's get this straight, So you have these beasts, these birds of prey in the capitals. Their voices will sing out in the window, but desolation will be. So what does it mean that the voices will sing out in the window? So it's an interesting pun over here. These are birds that are not able to sing. These are not nightingales. These are not birds you hear out your windows. The owls don't sing. The bats don't sing. He's making fun of them. There's going to be destruction there. What's their song? Their song is a song of destruction. They don't know how to do any bird song. They don't have anything which is appealing. It's just destruction that comes out of these birds. Okay, number 15. It's quite a famous pasuk. Number 15. Zosair. This is the city. This is the city referring to Nineveh. Ha'aliza, the proud city that stood, that was Hayoshevet Lavetach, that was so well established. Ha'omra Bilva said in its heart, Ani v'afsiod, there was none else but me, Ani v'afsiod, Echasa l'shama, how it was destroyed, my Beitz l'chaya, a place for animals, Kol aver aleha yishrok yani yado. Everyone goes by, well, they got this whistle, and a slow whistle of wow. Yeah, you see something which is terrible. You let out the slow whistle, and they'll wave their hands in just disbelief. Meaning, Ani v'afsiod, without me there is nothing. And now it is, that's what they said, that it's the most proud city, there's so much there, and now it's totally, thoroughly laid waste, and wild animals patrol it. And this can certainly be said about our time, where there are cities and there are neighborhoods that are controlled by the hoods, by the thugs, by the gangs, and the police don't even enter it. These proud cities of America, where there are neighborhoods that the police are too afraid to go enter it, and it's just controlled by the animals of prey. These people that are, you know, bowed on the drugs and decadent society, and people who go there will enter it and whistle in amazement. I remember hearing the idea of a low whistle, as I remember many, many years ago. I was put on the weather report, put on the traffic report. This was it's Neil Bush in Chapter 88 on CBS, and he's describing in Middle Jersey and Route 80 seems to be flowing, and then all of a sudden you hear this low whistle. He said, oh boy, you can kiss the George goodbye today, because it was a 4-hour backup to go on to the George Washington Bridge. That low whistle, they'll come and go, whoa, just, I'm not so good at my whistling, but it's a low whistle, it's amazement. How could this have happened? Disbelief. They'll just be shaking their hands. How could it be? Oh, yeah, 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 yeah. Just shaking their hands. How could it be? I can't believe it. This proud city. What has become left of it? Ani v'afsiod. All right. Tesvav. This proud city, it's a, could you believe it? Incredulity. Tzfanya is saying, he's making fun of Nineveh. You, the proud ones, look what you've become. You were the ones, you were never afraid, you were so well protected, and what have you come total destroyed? In other words, there is no one aside from me. No city could ever become like me, and this city is now destruction. Whoever goes by will whistle, because out of, you know, disgrace, terrible, terrible. Yania yado, they'll wave their hands. That's also an indication of embarrassment, of shame, and disgrace. And so we have now in the Pasuk 13 and 14, that describes the Churban of Nineveh. And in the 15th Pasuk, Pasuk 15, talks about the conclusion is on the prophecy regarding Nineveh. And the Navi is trying to describe how things will be so destroyed by saying that from Nineveh's former sense of security and being at peace and very proud and tranquil, now what happens? There is no sense of security at all. It's destroyed. And all the people who pass by will just be making fun of it. This was the famous Nineveh. It's the Gunish, nothing left of it. And he decides to end the description by saying, the Yom of the Day of God, regarding the destruction of Nineveh, even though, and it goes for all the other destructions of the other nations, that they're going to be the first ones. And this is apparently for two reasons. Firstly, because it's a warning. If the great, mighty Assyria is going to be destroyed, how much more so should little tiny itsy bitsy Lilliputian Yehuda be concerned? Secondly, as in the consolation, Usher, Assyria, which so much afflicted Yehuda with cruelty for about 100 years, it now you should have consolation, knowing in the end there's going to be justice and they will be destroyed. Okay, so that concludes for today, Perek Beis Tzfania, and we will resume next time with the third and final Perek of Navi Tzfania.